getting close to 4 o'clock, so we can do a final reading of Ajahn Chah, sort of to tie it together. And so this is from a talk that Ajahn Sumedho actually translated. It was one that he was really, it's the only talk I think that Ajahn Sumedho ever translated. It seemed to encompass all the different aspects of training and the flavor of that. So this is just somewhat short, a few pages of excerpt. The way of developing the heart, as taught by the Buddha, is the exact opposite of the way of the world, because his teachings come from a pure heart. A pure heart, unattached to defilements, is the way of the Buddha and his disciples. If you practice the Dhamma, you must bow your heart to the Dhamma. You must not make the Dhamma bow to you. When you practice this way, suffering arises. There isn't a single person who can escape this suffering. So when you commence your practice, suffering is right there. The duties of meditators are to develop mindfulness, collectedness, and contentment. These things stop us. They stop the habits of the hearts of those who have never trained. And why should we bother to do this? If you don't bother to train your heart, then it remains wild, following the ways of nature. It's possible to train that nature so that it can be used to advantage. This is comparable to the example of trees. If we just left trees in their natural state, we would never be able to build a house with them. We couldn't make planks or anything of use in building a house. However, if a carpenter came along wanting to build a house, he would go looking for trees such as these. He would take this raw material and use it to advantage. In a short time, he could have a house built. Meditation and developing the heart are similar to this. You must take this untrained heart, the same as you would take a tree in its natural state in the forest, and train this natural heart so that it is more refined, so that it's more aware of itself and is more sensitive. Everything is in its natural state. When we understand nature, then we can change it. We can detach from it. We can let go of it. Then we won't suffer anymore. The nature of our heart is such that whenever it clings and grasps, there is agitation and confusion. First it might wander over there, then it might wander over here. When we come to observe this agitation, we might think that it's impossible to train the heart, and so we suffer accordingly. We don't understand that this is the way the heart is. There will be thoughts and feelings moving about like this, even though we are practicing, trying to attain peace. That's the way it is. When we have contemplated many times the nature of the heart, we will come to understand that this heart is just as it is and can't be otherwise. We will know that the heart's ways are just as they are. That's its nature. If we see this clearly, then we can detach from thoughts and feelings, and we don't have to add on anything more by constantly having to tell ourselves that that's just the way it is. When the heart truly understands, it lets go of everything. Thinking and feeling will still be there, but that very thinking and feeling will be deprived of power. This is similar to a child who likes to play and frolic in ways that annoy us, to the extent that we scold or spank them. We should understand that it's natural for a child to act that way. Then we can let go and leave them to play in their own way. So our troubles are over. How are they over? Because we accept the ways of children. Our outlook changes, and we accept the true nature of things. We let go, and our heart becomes more peaceful. We have right understanding. If we have wrong understanding, then even living in a deep, dark cave would be chaos, or living high up in the air would be chaos. The heart can only be at peace when there is right understanding. Then there are no more riddles to solve and no more problems to arise. This is the way it is. You detach, you let go. Whenever there is any feeling of clinging, we detach from it, because we know that that very feeling is just as it is. It didn't come along especially to annoy us. We might think that it did, but in truth, it is just that way. If we start to think and consider it further, that too is just as it is. If we let go, then form is merely form, sound is merely sound, odor is merely odor, taste is merely taste, touch is merely touch, and the heart is merely the heart. It's similar to oil and water. If you put the two together in a bottle, they won't mix because of the difference of their nature. Oil and water are different in the same way that a wise person and an ignorant person are different. The Buddha lived with form, sound, odor, taste, touch, and thought. He was an arahant. So he turned away from, rather than toward, these things. He turned away and detached little by little, since he understood that the heart is just the heart, and thought is just thought. He didn't confuse and mix them together. The heart is just the heart. Thoughts and feelings are just thoughts and feelings. Let things be just as they are. Let form be just form. Let sound be just sound. Let thought be just thought. Why should we bother to attach to them? If we think and feel in this way, then there is detachment and separateness. Our thoughts and feelings will be on one side, and our heart will be on the other. Just like oil and water, they're in the same bottle, but they are separate. The Buddha and his enlightened disciples lived with ordinary, unenlightened people. They not only lived with these people, but they taught these ordinary, unenlightened, ignorant ones how to be noble, enlightened, wise ones. They could do this because they knew how to practice. They knew that it's a matter of the heart, just as I have explained. So, as far as your practice of meditation goes, don't bother to doubt it. If we run away from home to ordain, it's not running away to get lost in delusion, nor out of cowardice or fear. It's running away in order to train ourselves, in order to master ourselves. If we have understanding like this, then we can follow the Dhamma. The Dhamma will become clearer and clearer. The one who understands the Dhamma understands themselves. And the one who understands themselves understands the Dhamma. Nowadays, only the sterile remains of the Dhamma have become the accepted order. In reality, the Dhamma is everywhere. There is no need to escape to somewhere else. Instead, escape through wisdom, escape through intelligence, escape through skill, don't escape through ignorance. If you want peace, then let it be the peace of wisdom. That's enough.